This is a passage about the faith of Abraham. We're not actually going to spend much time on the faith of Abraham this morning. I want us to see this morning how Abraham and Isaac and the ram point us forward to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to begin our reading at the beginning of the chapter, Genesis 22:1. Listen to God's holy and inspired word. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Amen to the reading of God's word. Let's come to him again in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this precious passage before us. We pray, O Lord, as we consider it together, you would close us in with yourself. We pray this morning that you would lift our eyes up away from ourselves, away from this world, and fix them upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that you would move our hearts as we reflect upon our precious Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Parents, you know how much you love your children. You know how you would do anything to protect them. If you saw your child nearing the road, then you would rush, wouldn't you? You would rush to restrain them and bring them back away from danger. You know, I think Abraham loved Isaac with the same sort of love. In fact, we read that he did in verse 2. He loved his son Isaac with a paternal and a protective love. And yet, in verse 2, God commanded Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Look again at verse 2. He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Now surely Abraham was shaken to the core. Matthew Henry said that every word of God's command would have been a sword in Abraham's bones. You know, it's one thing leaving your father, which God commanded Abraham to do in chapter 12. But it's another thing leaving your son. It's one thing sacrificing your past, but it's another thing sacrificing your future. And surely this morning we can only imagine the sinking feeling that Abraham had as God commanded him to do this thing. But remarkably, Abraham embarks on this 3-day journey. Now, you know, particularly as Americans, you know what long journeys feel like. And you know how your journeys can seem even longer when you have kids crying and nagging in the back seat. Brits are terrible for long journeys. It's like we have to stop every 30 minutes for a tea break. You know what long journeys are like, but this surely was the longest journey in the history of the world. 3 days, 2 sleepless nights, 72 hours of Abraham's mind racing 100 miles per hour with so many questions. Why, Lord, have you commanded me to do this to my son? Does God not see how much I love my precious son Isaac? Does he not realize that I've waited 100 years for this son? Has God forgotten that Isaac is promised? He is the promised son through whom all the covenant blessings will be fulfilled. Does he not realize that if Isaac is sacrificed, the hope of the whole world is extinguished? What a long journey. And then he sees the dreaded Mount Moriah brewing like a hurricane on the horizon. Look at verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. What a fearful sight. Again, we can only imagine how his heart would have sank, and this is where his stomach really begins to churn. And the tension reaches fever pitch as he begins the ascent in verse 6. Look at verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it in Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so they went, both of them, together. Every step would have been a kick to his soul. And then Isaac turns to ask his father a question, and he says, "My father." And you can only imagine how that felt to Abraham. And Matthew Henry says, these melting words would strike deeper into the breast of Abraham than his knife could ever sink into the breast of Isaac. I know which I would prefer, but we get the picture. How could Abraham not be screaming inside? And then it goes on, verse 7. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. And then they arrive, and Abraham built an altar, and he bound Isaac and lay him on the wood. And Abraham doubtless kissed his son one last time. And then he raises his knife into the air to plunge it down into his son. And surely his heart is pounding and his mind is racing and his hands are shaking. And he doesn't understand. God, your holy nature. God, my precious son. God, your covenant promises. The church. I don't understand. But I believe. As we read in Romans 4. I believe. I believe you. And I believe in you. And all I can think of is that you're going to raise him again from the dead. And so without wavering, he lifts his hand up and then stop. Stop. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from. You know, Isaac was always safe. It was never God's intention, not that Abraham knew that. And yet what we have here in this chapter is a display of unadulterated, faith-fueled act of obedience. A display of unadulterated, faith-fueled, active obedience. This is unpolluted, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. But I want you to close the curtains on this stage this morning, and then you have your interlude. And you open the curtains again, and you see the Lord Jesus Christ. See, really, Abraham's act of obedience is a foreshadow of Christ's. You know, Abraham was acting like a priest. And as in all his obedience, he offered up his son Isaac. And then we have thousands of years later, the great high priest, in all his act of obedience, offering up himself. And you know, I think the pain that Abraham felt here at the prospect of offering up his son is dwarfed by the pain that Christ felt at the prospect of offering up himself to the wrath of God. And you remember Gethsemane and how one of the gospel writers says that he began to be greatly distressed and troubled. That he was in anguish, that he sweat drops as of blood. And Jesus says, my soul is very sorrowful, even to the point of death. And you know, I don't think that he recoiled at his back being torn open. And I don't think he recoiled at the spikes. And I don't think he recoiled at the suffocation of crucifixion. I don't even think he recoiled at the shame of it all. But he recoiled at the prospect of the frowning displeasure of his father. He recoiled at the concentrated wrath of God. And like Abraham recoiled, no doubt, at Moriah, Christ recoiled at Gethsemane, and yet in all his act of obedience, he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And we can't begin to imagine the trepidation of Christ as he went up Mount Calvary. And actually, Mount Moriah is Mount Calvary. Like Abraham, Christ had to take step after step. And every fiber in his holy body would have recoiled at the wrath of his beloved Father, but he kept walking. He kept walking until he gets to the top and he offers up himself. He says, "Here you are. Here you are." And the priest offers up himself as a sacrifice to God. You know this morning how difficult it is to obey God even for one day. It's easy to crumble at the empty promises of sin. It's easy to shrink back when things are not going our way. But here it is, Christ. And he's perfectly obedient. And don't you see this morning that it was all for you, if you're a Christian? It was all for you. And so this act of obedience of Abraham points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to see, secondly, that the passive obedience of Isaac points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look again at verse 7. "And Isaac said to his father Abraham, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here am I, my son.' He said, 'Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son.' So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood." You know, I don't believe in mere coincidence. I don't believe in bare chance. It wasn't bare chance that Isaac ascended a hill to be sacrificed. It wasn't bare chance that Mount Moriah is Mount Zion where the temple is built. It wasn't bare chance that Isaac carried the very wood that he was to be sacrificed on. It wasn't bare chance that Isaac was the covenant son of promise through whose line all the covenant promises would be fulfilled. I don't think it's bare chance that in this passage there's not even a hint of incomplicity on Isaac's behalf. He goes and he is bound and he is obedient to his father. And we draw the curtains closed again. And we open them again, and again we see the Lord Jesus Christ. This time, it's another son, your only son, whom you love. We see another son of promise through whom the world will be blessed. We see another son obediently walking up a hill, carrying the very wood that he's to be sacrificed on. We see another son being led like a lamb to the slaughter, yet not opening his mouth. And when those filthy, grubby, sinful hands bind him and lead him away to murder him, he doesn't kick and scream. He doesn't resist. And he too was bound and laid on a wooden altar. And the knife was raised. Only this time it wasn't a mere metal blade. This time it's the very wrath of God. And there was no voice to cry, "Stop." There was only silence. There was only darkness and the wrath came down and pierced his soul. You see, not only was Christ the obedient priest that offered up his son, Christ was the obedient sacrifice who offered up himself as a lamb led to the slaughter. And again, we need to realize this morning that it was all for us. This was all for us. Jesus did it all for us. I'd like to notice, thirdly and finally, how this ram points us to Christ. Look again at verse 12. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." I want you to notice two things about this. I want you to notice, first of all, the providence of God. This ram was strategically placed. It would have been no good if the ram had come a week earlier, hadn't arrived until a week later. It was there at the perfect time. And it was there at the perfect place. It would have been no good if it arrived or had been caught in a thicket a mile down the road. And it was the perfect sacrifice according to Leviticus. It's no good if it was a deer or some sort of other animal. It had to be a male ram. It was the right animal at the right place at the right time. Or from the ram's perspective, the wrong animal at the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, Isaac, this isn't a mere coincidence that Isaac was substituted by this ram. It was always part of God's eternal purposes. You know, in the same way, it's true of Christ's coming. Christ came to the appointed place. It might seem a wee bit random that he was born in a barn somewhere in the Middle East, but he came to a particular place, the perfect place, and he came from heaven to get there. And Christ was the perfect sacrifice, a male without spot or blemish. And he came at the perfect time. He emerged from eternity onto the timeline of history at the perfect point. You know, Isaac asked the question to his father, "Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And then we have this interlude, but in the perfect time, John the Baptist turns almost as if it were to Isaac and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It was all the perfect execution of God's eternal foreordained plan. But notice, secondly, from this ram, the substitution. Isaac was removed, and you can just imagine how he felt. And this ram was taken and bound and put in his place. This was a substitute. This was a substitutionary atonement. And the ram was sacrificed. And not only was it sacrificed, it was a burnt offering. It was all consumed, and the smoke would have risen into heaven and pleased the nostrils of God. And the curtains close, and they open again one more time, and we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold our sacrificial, substitutionary Savior. The sacrifice of this ram pointed to the sacrifice of Christ, without whom the ram sacrifice was a waste of time. The blood of the ram pointed to the blood of God that poured out at Calvary. And we can only imagine this morning the scene as Abraham and Isaac walk down Moriah with Isaac free because his substitute took his place. And you can imagine them turning and seeing the blood. And you can imagine them turning and seeing the smoke going up into the atmosphere. And yet we say, walk away, Isaac. Walk away because this substitute has taken your place. Christian, this morning, I want you to turn and see the substitutionary sacrifice that took your place. And as you walk down the mountain, you are free because you had a substitute take your place. And as you walk down the mountain this morning, and all the blessings of freedom and life and forgiveness and peace and joy and hope, as you walk down the mountain, I want you to turn around and see the blood that was shed from his head onto that wooden altar. I want you to see the blood that shed from his side on the wooden altar of the cross. I want you to see your sacrifice in your place. I want you to see the aroma of Christ rising into heaven. And I want you to go down the mountain, sins forgiven, but turn and see and say, yes, there's my substitute. There's my Lord. And he did it all for me. He set me free because he took my place. You know, we sing the hymn, "The Terrors of Law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view." Why is that? Because Jesus was our sacrifice and he stood in our place. He extinguished our hell. And don't you absolutely love him this morning? Don't you want to praise him? Don't you want to say, thank you, Jesus. You did all this for me. You know, I don't think it's wrong to read Genesis 22 and say, look at the obedience of Abraham and Isaac. And I don't think it's wrong to look at that and then ask ourselves the question, well, am I obeying God? Where in my life am I disobeying God? What needs to be dealt with right now? I don't think it's wrong to ask that. In fact, I think we should ask that. We should read this and ask ourselves. And I don't think it's wrong to look at the sacrifice of Abraham and Isaac and then turn to ourselves and ask, well, what do I need to sacrifice before my holy God? What sins, what idols need to be laid on the altar? We should ask that. And I don't think it's wrong to look at this chapter as the author of Hebrews does and as Paul does in Romans 4 and as James does in James 2. I don't think it's wrong to look at this chapter and say, wow, look at the faith of Abraham. God, give me the grace that I need to believe. Like Abraham believed. I don't think it's wrong to do that. But you know, when I come to Genesis 22, I want to look through the shadows of the Old Testament and I want to say, wow, look at the active obedience of Christ in Abraham. Look how he offered himself up and it was all for me. And I want to look through the shadows of the Old Testament and say, well, look at Christ giving up his life. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he laid down his life and it was for me. And I want to look through the shadows of the Old Testament and I want to see the sacrifice of Christ. And I want to see the substitutionary atonement of Christ and see, wow, how Jesus lay down his life for me. Look how he took my place. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending your Son, your only Son whom you love, into this world to be a sacrifice for us. And our Savior, Jesus Christ, how we praise you this morning with all our hearts that you came and you offered yourself up and you gave yourself into the hands of wicked men and laid down your life for us. That you, as it were, took us off the altar where we were surely going to endure the wrath of God. And you got on the altar. And you took our place. We thank you, Lord, that you took our place this morning. We thank you for your sacrifice. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.